So I came to Oroville when I was 19 as a very naive, idealistic young man, boy, and I came very much with the aim of experiencing the pioneering life. So first I lived in Annapurna, where I basically had my apprenticeship, if you like, with the tools, the seasons, all of that sort of thing, and how the basic agriculture is going in this part of the country. And then I moved and I pioneered Aranya, which is a 50-acre reforestation and mini farming sort of place out in near Lake Estate in Oroville. And I guess my vision of farming has grown very, very organically, if you like. Excuse the pun, but it's been very, very. It's evolved in a very gentle way. I've started my inspiration comes from Fukuoka, because at the root of Fukuoka's vision is something extremely simple and, you know, vastly important. It's a clear perception of reality.
Yeah.
And
it's about not fighting against nature but working
exactly, and it's about perceiving man's true role and position in this, on this planet, no, which is it's a collaborative role that we have with nature. It's not we are not doing, you know, it's nature that does. We just have to facilitate, like a helper, gently nurture things. Now, the natural farming basically it's just the last 8 to 9 years that I've been really focused very intently on the natural farming. More like 8 years, and after I met Fukuoka, I've always been inspired by him. That's could be one of my main reasons to have started all this. But the last 8 years, it's been very focused. After having spent 5 days with him in Vandana Shiva's farm in Dehradun, and the experiments we've been doing and the work we've been doing, I've just indicated every season more and more that this is the way to go. And then also with the work, picking up from the work of Thomas in Annapurna and Bernard and Deepika in the Pebble Garden, the use of all our biomass, returning sticks, returning leaves, returning everything we have that grows, weeds and all, back to the field, and finding, you know, interesting, in finding viable sort of intercroppings. For example, now we have a permanent intercrop of fruit trees with a medium duration intercrop of banana and papaya, short duration intercrop of, say, a 3, 4, 5 month vegetable, and then a very short intercrop of, say, lettuce or radish or arugula or something. So we have 4 layers of intercropping going on. So the fields are always busy, they're always alive. Also the rice, now we're, I don't like saying that, but I think we're probably one of the only places in India doing non-tilled rice, natural farming, direct cultivation rice. Yeah, unfortunately, I think we're one of the only places doing that. And we start to have yields that look interesting. You know, there's still lots to learn. You know, I have lots of discussions with Thomas in Annapurna, who's, you know, very, very successful rice producer. I mean, they're the breadbasket of Oroville, really, Annapurna. And you know, he points out my mistakes. He's pointed out a lot of where possibly, you know, it has to improve. But I can see, despite those really constructive criticisms, I can see how the field's improving every year in fertility, because we don't plow the land, because we're adding a lot of organic matter back to the land, because we have these very elegant rotations and intercroppings. We have the rice harvest to make now, and we'll have to make the calculation of the surface area and the yield and all of that. But this year, basically, we've had a green manure. We've sown the rice into the green manure, and then we've cut the rice and we put the straw back in the field. Then we've planted vegetables. Then when the vegetables are finished, we'll put again the black velvet bean, which is the green manure. So we got a very elegant rotation going on there, and the soil is improving in its organic matter content, because you have an enormous amount of green manure going back to the soil, and then enormous amount of straw going back to the soil. I mean, enormous, a good amount of straw going back to the soil. And then in between the vegetables, again, we'll mulch. For example, the roof of the keat huts came down, so all that keat gets put back in the channels. And then the rosella harvest happens. All those branches of rosella go back in the field as well. And those things, like, continuously, there's things like that, yeah, where the field's getting nourished.
And you leave all this material disintegrating on the field itself.
Sure. Exactly, yeah.
And you seed into this material, or how do I have to see this?
Sorry?
Well, there's this material of leaves, twigs, yeah, and all this organic stuff.
Yeah.
Do you seed in this, or how... How do you put new vegetables after...
Those go in the channels. There's beds. Mm-hmm. So there's a bed, and then there's a channel, mm-hmm, an irrigation channel, and a bed, an irrigation channel. So they go in the channels.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, this is basically... What I'm describing to you now is basically the philosophy of how we're approaching our farming. That's... I think that every place will develop a different... slightly different approaches, you know, because it's not so much the techniques may change depending on the person, depending on the place, the size of the farm, the topography, the population of the farm, all sorts of things like that. But within solitude, we start to come up with something very interesting and something quite workable, something that brings us good yields, something that feels good as well, something that is very attractive to a lot of people. They feel, a lot of non-farmers start to feel they can relate to this, you know, that farming is not just a specialized thing like a chartered accountant or a heart surgeon, you know, but it's almost like our birthright to be involved with growing our food, you know. And from these activities that have taken me, you know, that's 18 years of farming that I've been involved in Oroville. But it's only now I start to feel like, yeah, I can start telling a few things now, you know. And from this experience and manifestation that we, you know, of what we've been doing here, we started to develop a couple of projects. So one of them is working closely with Isabel and Erin. In the Food Link and a few other people, which is the community supported agriculture project, which is to distribute vegetables. Basically, we need to have the consumer inside the loop. The consumer shouldn't be outside of the farms. The consumers should be completely related to the farms, know where their food is coming, and be, you know, supporting the farms in a very direct way. So basically the CSA project is that the people pay for a basket 6 months in advance, and they don't choose what they get. They get either a 2 kg or a 4 kg basket, whatever they request, and they as the season goes on, they get whatever's there. No, so for a long while it was bananas and plantains and this and that, and then it's wing beans, and then it was French beans, now it's sweet potato. This week chico started to come in. A bit later there will be mangoes. Now I think I saw soursop coming in. All sorts of different lettuce is there now, tomatoes coming in. It's quite a beautiful thing that we're providing, actually. And And I think financially it works out very well for the consumer as well. You know, they get a lot of care. But the main point about this whole thing is that what I perceived, I sort of had a flash, a sort of vision about it when we had the first meeting of the CSA, is that people came together to live in societies, to live in communities. You know, to from the cave age era, no, they started to form villages and stuff because they needed to cooperate over getting their food. I think that's one of the fundamental reasons that people come together. Of course, there's other things like security and companionship, but I think one of the fundamental reasons is they need to grow their food or hunt or gather their food in groups, no. So now we don't have that fundamental reason of being together. Rather, we meet over an ideal, or we meet over a financial convenience, you know, or it's cheaper to everyone live in an apartment block or something, you know. But there's no fundamental, essential reason why the people are meeting. And I think a lot of our problems in our society and the way that man has thought and has gone off at incredible tangents and isolating directions is probably due to this. That we've lost this very basic common need, you know, without sort of making it into some sort of romantic thing of in the past everyone lived in the village. I'm not trying to say that exactly, but still there is something of that. So the fact that people in Oroville, that there's a group of people who will pay for their basket 6 months in advance, that they know where their food is coming from, that they're supporting the farms, that they don't demand sweet little mini potatoes from Uti or baby corn from Bangalore, but they take what grows here and they make the efforts to learn. That shows an openness of mind. It shows a slight shift in consciousness, of opening of the heart, that people say, I live in this bioregion. I take responsibility of what I eat to a certain extent. Okay, we're not being fanatics, you know. Sometimes someone has a Coke or something, you know, or they're going to have something that doesn't grow here. It's fine, but as a basic, you know, that people say, yeah, I support my local farms. I feel related with this place. This is my bioregion. I, you know, that is a very crucial step. For me, that is so powerful. That could spark a revolution, you know, and I don't use that word lightly, you know. That could be an incredible, powerful change. Because if people open their mind to that as a very basic thing, as a very basic sort of first step, then people might start taking up our second project, which is the rock and roll permaculture circle garden, which is basically a 3-meter garden circle with a sprinkler in the middle. The sprinkler covers the 3 meter of the garden, of the circle. And it has, basically, we're doing all the same practices as in the farm, like no digging and no, just very basic, just keep adding mulch. You put a bit of compost in the beginning and then just keep adding mulch and just plant a diversity of things in there, papaya, a banana, some corn, some beans, a pumpkin, a this, a that, you know, and just keep being with it. You need to do a half an hour work a week and turn on the sprinkler a few times in the week, depending on how hot it is. Mm-hmm. But people talk to me about but there's not enough food in Oroville and to support the CSA project and this, and then there's not enough food in the shops and there's not enough for the solar kitchen. I think that if everyone in Oroville had a small garden like that, that we would really make leaps and bounds in our food production, you know. I think that within 6 months, a garden like that can comfortably produce, say, 10, 20 kilos of food. You know, that's not enormous amount. But I think, you know, good bunch of bananas, a bunch of papayas, a bunch of this, a bit of that, you can get up to 20 kilos, some tapioca. Mm-hmm.
And times 2,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. And imagine just 100 people did it, you know. Just 100 people did that. The point is that people's awareness shifts into that, oh, we can do this. Yeah. Oh, this is not difficult. This is something we're a lot of people, you see, I see it with the volunteers who come here. We're victims of a educational system that has taught us not to think, not to take initiative, not to be creative. We are told from young age what to do. Now you sit here, now you study this. At this time, bing, bong, the bell rings. Now you do maths, and now you do this, and then you do this. And you do it because you want to get this grade, and you, because eventually you're going to be an engineer. It's all incredibly defined, you know. Mm-hmm. And nice lyric in one of my songs, I defy the line that's drawn to define me. We have to. We have to defy that, you know. We have to, like... realize that we are victims of this educational system, so we have to do something else. Now, for me, the CSA is a precursor to get people to be aware of the food issue, food security issue in their area, in their bioregion, in Oroville in particular. The rock and roll permaculture garden that we initiated is like an action. It's a nice action, but there are many other things we could do. And one of my new plans and projects, which will take a lot of cooperation and collaboration in Oroville, is to turn the front lawn of the town hall into a permaculture garden. If you see I don't know if you've heard of the documentary on Cuba, but after the USSR pulled out all their financial aid to Cuba when the USSR collapsed, they had no food, no money. So everyone started to grow food in Havana. I don't know if it's all Cuba or if it's just Havana, but you know, incredible amount of food was grown in colleges, in the gardens of hospitals, in schools, in all sorts of government places, in people's houses, on balconies, in pots, in gardens, in public parks. And this is a model we have to follow, you know. And if you look around the world, it is catching on, and Oroville is behind. Mm-hmm. You go to the park there, where next to where the Queen lives in London, I saw one garden there. It's got broad beans, and there was some spinach, and there was some chard, right in like this public, very very public area. Apparently, Michelle Obama, Michelle Barack, no, what's her name, the president of USA's wife, she's done a vegetable garden on the White House lawn, and I'm sure if we Googled and researched, we'd find town halls around Europe that start to do vegetables in their, you know, that start to push their municipalities to do vegetables in their public spaces. Yeah. So we need to do that, you know. We can't be behind on this. We don't have the we can't afford the arrogance of such a. You know, for me, it's not a luxury to have a green lawn with a few palm trees. It's a ridiculousness. You know, it's pathetic. That is a myopic idea of aesthetics, mm-hmm. you know.
And do you think Oudeville is pretty zoned in how it's structured? No, this is a residential zone, the green belt. Do you think this has to be reconsidered as well?
The whole reconsidering will be done very naturally, because there's going to be 8 billion people on the planet within 20 years' time. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is not the approach I want to, that I feel is feasible to make people wake up and do something. It's not to like make the fear factor doesn't work. People don't give a damn, you know. That's not, but it will be forced upon people anyway, you know. There's not going to be a choice, you know. It's not gonna. We're not gonna have this nice little Lego land, you know. Here's the little this, and here's the snack bar, and here's the fire station, and you're not gonna have it. It's not gonna happen, you know. Mm-hmm. It's gonna. It will. It. I feel people are in a. People are in a dream, you know. Really, I was at a meeting recently in the town hall, and I see everyone has their agenda. You know, everyone has their agenda, and actually they don't actually, I've only been to one meeting, so I can't judge all the meetings, but at least in that meeting, I got the feeling that people are not really listening to each other, you know. They have their agenda from which they have understood, and it comes from certain conditioning, certain, you know, our experiences are limited. you know, experience is limited. So from that limited experience, it's very hard for human beings to say, it has to be like this. You know, we have to be very cautious, mm-hmm. you know, and needs more of a... It's a tricky thing, you know, because without bringing everyone on board, we're not going to change the town hall and make and all the solar kitchen, for example, and make those very, you know, alive places. Imagine the town hall, though, is a mini orchard with bananas and this and that and vegetables growing. People will get involved in that garden in a very natural way. For me, it's I can perceive it very clearly. Mm-hmm. People pass by the town hall, they go in there, do a bit of weeding, see the people who are working there, chat with them, and people start to feel that this is their place, you know? Right. That we lose this sort of thing of, oh, that's my house and this is that, but we, you know, there's a more... I feel food is a, can be an incredibly powerful uniting element, you know, bring people together in a very real way, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I know an example in the Netherlands, in a neighborhood where many immigrants live, and a girl, she started to do permaculture, and she's cooking with these people, the foods they grow between the houses, and Moroccan, Turkish, Dutch people all working together to in this garden.
Mm, definitely, definitely, yeah. I think there are many projects, and that's why I say Auroville is behind. Mm-hmm. That's why I say, in the on the social level of agriculture and bringing farming into our society, into our rural, I feel we are behind on some levels. You know, of course, things are going very well on other levels, like a food link. You know, it's wonderful, wonderful thing that's been started and been taken up with a real passion by Isabel. And then also you got people like Thomas and Jeff doing and Priya and all these guys doing, you know, wonderful work. There's no criticism on that, you know. It's the fact is that we still having farming in farms.
Yeah.
Farming has to spill out mm-hmm. into our community. If you look at the energy man has given to put a guy on the moon or to invest into getting 10 million people to buy a pair of Nikes, you know, that sort of energy, if we just put that creative energy, like forget the ring road for a minute, let's put that energy into something really fundamental,
yeah.
you know, in a very creative way. How do we get our population in Auroville involved to some extent, whether it's an hour a week or one day a month or whatever.
Just a connection.
Connection with the food that we grow. How do we get everyone involved? There must be a very creative way of inspiring people, of getting people to open their eyes and say, wow, and it's a joy, and it's good for our health, and it's good for our diet, and it's good for our social things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I made a joke at one of my last concerts that the less meetings and more festivals, but one result of the Lively Up Your Earth festival was that people told me a lot that that Aurovillians came together, you know, people in Auroville came together, and people are saying they're missing that, you know. When people come together and work together, especially, I think a lot of doubts, a lot of misapprehensions, misunderstandings, they're just naturally, like, you know, dissolved to a certain extent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We meet perpetually just over meetings and deciding this and that. It's a very artificial way. Of course it has its place as well, and it's necessary, you know. I'm not negating anyone's role in Auroville. I'm just saying that everything can be expanded, you know, and can be seen in a much, can be approached in a much more dynamic way, you know.
Yeah, and directed to the 5-year plan ASAP. Do you?
I have nothing to do with that, and I don't know anything about it. I wouldn't mind to know, though. But
oh, okay.
It's about the farming or what?
Yeah, it's an idea from farm group.
To that 5-year plan.
Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. That yeah. I know a little bit about it. Yeah, okay.
Well, with all you said, do you have anything to add in relation to this plan?
You see, no one's really asked me about what I think for the 5-year plan apart from you.
Okay.
No, so no one's really... I don't think that people see the way I'm seeing... I don't... The priorities that I feel, the values that I feel, I don't think people see that even in the farm group. I don't see that people are thinking in the way I think. I really would love them to. I mean, a critique from my side is that towards me is that I don't go enough to the meetings and I don't vent my opinions and share, but I find it takes a lot of time to go to meetings and talk, and I have so much things going on here. So I'm a little bit, I'm not very good at going to meetings and trying to convince people. I don't think that, I don't believe that's the right, that is very effective. Actually, I think it's much more effective to do something and do it so well and so beautifully that people have to take note, you know.
So let me put the question differently. What does there need to be done to fulfill some of your ideals with Aardofuel?
So we need to develop the CSA project as a first step. The
CSA, community-supported agriculture.
Yeah, that's a massive thing. It needs to be taken up as a project of Foodlink. So we need more staff. We need more people involved in it, preferably people who are involved in the project, consumers. We need a place. And this is something that Isabel is already working on quite full power on. But we need a center, you know, for the to that where we can do the CSA distribution. Basically, we need energy to be put into that project, because the more you explore, the more ideas will come. It may be that we don't have a central distribution place, that maybe we find more than one central distribution, actually, that we just dump a load of things in, say, creativity, and those people do their own distribution. So they're much more directly involved in the, you know they have 20 families, so they divide a papaya for each one, or this for each one, 500 gram of this and that. But those type of ideas won't happen unless we really devote some creativity and energy to it. And I'm talking about the sort of creativity and energy that gets put into things that I feel are useless, like... I can understand the need for statistics and all these things, but statistics at the end of the day, they're very dry. They don't translate into an action.
It's not always practical.
It's not very practical. At the moment we need action, you know. Yeah. So I'm like looking more for a research and an investigation about the CSA, of how to develop that on all aspects, on the educational level as well as, you know.
And is the idea of CSA as well that people help to pick and seed and are involved in the whole farming process?
I think that's a rather... takes a little longer for that. It may be that out of 50 people, one or two start to get really involved in the farms. That's nice. It should be more that it's a door open for people, and that they feel the possibility to get involved, you know. For example, if one or two people came into Solitude and we know they're coming this time in a week, two or three times or one or two times or whatever, they have a certain job and they do that, and then they want to explore some other job, then they learn that, and that's fine, you know. That possibility should should be there. But I personally feel there's more strength that's, you know, that would be wonderful if that happens. But the second step for CSA for me is the Circle Garden. And to use public spaces for farming. We need to do that. If we have public spaces, so many eyes are going to open up. Already we have one circle garden in the solar kitchen that we made. And so many people stop there now and pick a tomato and do a bit of weeding and take a bit of this and that. And, you know, they take some interest and attention over it. Imagine it's one done in town hall by 20, 30 people involved in it.
Yeah.
There's going to be this sense of ownership, you know, and sense of pride and belonging and sharing, you know, augmented. And a lot of people will get drawn into it, you know.
Yeah.
And then that will only spread. It'll spread like a healthy disease, you know. Then the solar kitchen will be done like that. Then this place, then that place, you know. instead of a line of palm trees that a gardener is watering every day, I saw in Akka a line of palm trees or something they're watering. And I thought, why they don't have a line of bananas there with a drip on it, you know? They have a drip on it. They turn the drip. It looked beautiful. It'd be so simple. And in between the bananas, you could put pumpkins or something, you know? Yeah, yeah. It could be so beautiful. There are countless examples of how we could do that in Oroville. Countless, yeah. Countless. And the season of growing season, the easy growing season, is really not that long. But it's possible.